Good morning. Today's daf in Kedushin Ayin Ches. We're nine Zayin Amud Beis. We are towards the top of the Amud. We're going to be starting this morning from the words Amana Grusha V'Chala V'Zona. So, and we are covering a brisa that we saw yesterday. A kohen is having relations with a woman that he's not allowed to have relations with. There are a number of psula kohuna that has been the topic of our perek, not of our entire perek. Really, this topic was introduced yesterday with the Mishnah. Go back to the Mishnah nine Zayin Amud Alf. The Mishnah over there goes over the idea that a kohen is not allowed to marry a halal, a kohen is not allowed to marry a ger. Those are two ideas which we already covered earlier in the Masechta. However, here we are now talking about how the halal status goes from one generation to the next, how the gerus goes from one generation to the next. We're going to come back to the gerus later this morning. The end of today's daf, we're going to really cover the gerus sugya. But meanwhile, halal. So the halal. So once a woman's a halala, so she is prohibited from being with a kohen. She can't eat truma if she's herself as a bas kohen. Okay. So we went over yesterday what happens if a kohen's with an almana who's an almana three times over. Okay. She was widowed not once, not twice, but three times. Okay. So we raised quickly yesterday the issue that she's a kalanis, right? She obviously she kills men. Maybe not actively, but in other words, that's what happens when you marry her. But that's not our issue. Our issue is, the Gemara wanted to know yesterday that the Kohen that's with her, with the Almana, and not just a Kohen, by the way, but rather a Kohen Gadol. Because remember, the prohibition of Kohen Gadol is only for the Almana. The Almana is only towards the Kohen Gadol. So meanwhile, Kohen Gadol is with an Almana. She's with her three times over. So now the halacha is that he's Chayev Malkus how many times? Once, twice, or three times? So the Gemara says once it's one woman, it's one act of bia. She's an almana three times over. Great, she's an almana three times over. But in other words, but it's one iser. Okay. With that stated, the Gemara now is going to go on to the next part of the brisa, which we read quickly yesterday, but now we're not going to read quickly. And that is almana grusha v'chalal azona. So in other words, a woman becomes a widow, a divorcee, a chalala, and a zona. And specifically in that order. So she has now gotten a lot of titles, not notable titles, right? Very notable titles, but not noteworthy. So first she was widowed, then she was divorced. We're not going to go through right now how exactly she collected all these statuses, but now she got these statuses, and almana grusha chalala zona, and now a kohen is with her. So as long as she got these statuses in this specific order. So now what's going to happen is that the kohen that's with her is going to be chayev four times over. Okay, so it's one woman, it's one avera, it's one iser bia. However, there are four different isurim. And because there are four different isurim, therefore he's going to be chayev four different times. Hi, Tana. So now we say to the facts, now some analysis. So, hi, Tana. My kasavri, kasavri, iser, chalal, iser, ibchanami. So, if the author of this brisa, whoever he may be, if the author of the Brisa holds that an Isser is going to superimpose on top of another Isser, this is the idea of Isser Chalal Isser. Remember, basic machlokas tanaim, whether or not you subscribe to the school of thought of Isser Chalal Isser, alternatively, you don't subscribe to Isser being Chalal Isser, otherwise stated, ain't Isser Chalal Isser. The author of this Tana, where does he stand? If he stands on the side of Isser Chalal Isser, so I feel like Chanami, order then doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be Amana, followed by Grusha, followed by Chalala, followed by Zona. In other words, it could be whatever order she obtains the statuses. The Brisa, the way the Brisa reads, it has to be specifically in this order. Oh, so then, but if I subscribe to Isser Chalal Isser, order shouldn't matter. And V'i Kasavein Isser Chalal Isser, Afilu Kisidra Zed Namilo. And if I hold that Ein Isser Chalal Isser, that you do not superimpose one Isser on top of another Isser, otherwise stated, once the Torah asks for something, that's it. There's no more room on the item for another Isser to enter. And so therefore, if I subscribe to an Isser Chalal Isser, so there should only be one Isser, and that's it. Once she's an Almana vis-a-vis the Kohen Gadol, that's it. She also became a Grusha. That's great she became a Grusha. It's not great that she became a Grusha. Please forgive me, I'm only speaking in context. So that's great she became a Grusha, but in other words, but there's no more room for the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol is already prohibited to her via the Isser of Almana, and that's it. And there shouldn't be, and there should be not, no other Isser. So, Amarava, beautiful. Hi, Tan Isser, Chala Isser, Leisle, Isser, Mosif, Isle. Okay, beautiful. So, Alan said it. The Gemara is now going to say it, and that is that What we're going to talk now about is compound Isurim, when the second Isur adds a dimension. Okay, we're going to call it Isur Mosif. Now, the truth of the matter is that if we had more time, which we don't, so we would discuss Isur Mosif in much greater detail regarding what does that mean? It adds a dimension. Over here, all we need to do is discuss it in the context of our Gemara, because right now, all I need to do, I mean, I need to do a lot, but for purposes of Daf Yomi, all I need to do is just give a working shot in our Gemara, and so therefore, I'm only discussing Isur Mosif in the context of our discussion. And that is that we have Amana, and Grusha, and Chalala, and Zona, and we are about to argue that with every new Isur that comes on her, it adds a dimension. So Amana, so the Kohen Gadol, remember, the Amana is very limited, because the Amana is only asked to the Kohen Gadol. And Shai Lekohen Hedjot, permitted to the Kohen Hedjot. So Havilei Grusha, so now comes the second Isur of Grusha. Grusha adds a dimension. Migudei Yitosif La'Isur Legabe Kohen Hedjot, Yitosif La'Isur Legabe Kohen Gadol. And just from a Svar standpoint, fantastic. Meaning fantastic only from the Svar standpoint. Meaning not fantastic that we're adding another Isur. But now, from a Svar standpoint, it's fantastic. Because what just happened, when she comes to Grusha, and now she's also to all the Kohanim. So as a result now that the second Isur has added a dimension, an Isur to all Kohanim, therefore, the Grusha Isur is going to also superimpose Legabe the Kohen Gadol. And Adayin Shara Lamecha B'Truma, but remember now, as a Grusha and as an Almana, she's still allowed to eat Truma. She's a widow. Okay, she can still eat truma. Now there are occasions, of course, where she can eat truma. She had a child and whatever. But whatever, Amana by itself does not ban her from and restrict her from eating truma. And grusha by itself does not ban her or prohibit her from eating truma. So habile chalala migo di tosef yisur lamechal betruma yitosef yisur lagabe lekohen gadol. And now she becomes a chalala. A chalala is a bias isur. She had a bia that she was not allowed to have, rendering her a chalala. Now that she's a chalala, so from that point going forward now, she can't eat truma. Now that this Isur chalala has added a dimension, i.e. the prohibition of eating truma, therefore, legabe the Kohen Gadol, the Isur chalala is also going to impose as well. Mm-hmm. So, we just learned that even if you subscribe to an Isur chalala Isur, when the next Isur is adding a dimension, so therefore it superimposes on top, great. So we have now explained Amana, Grusha, and Chalala. There's only one more to go, and that's Zona. What does Zona add? Ela Zona my Isur Mosif Islay. So the Gemara at first is stuck, because she now is a Zona. What does that mean, she now is a Zona? She had a Bia that rendered her a Zona. Any Bia's Psul will render her a Zona. So, okay. So now she's a Zona, but that doesn't add any dimension, presumably. So the Gemara over here is going to both admit and be mechadish that it does add a dimension. Amar of Chana Barav Ketina Hol V'Shem Znus Posel B'Yisrael. So the Gemara says, look, Znus does add a dimension. Now, I'm using those terms now over here a little bit loosely. It doesn't really add a dimension. However, Znus is in fact more general and more generic. Why? Because Znus also would apply to, Yisrael. Meaning a woman who's married to Yisrael, and she commits adultery. She is mizaneh. So in other words, the znus category is a much wider and broader category that would affect not only the world of Kohanim, but also Jewish people in general. And so since it is more generic and more general, so therefore when the woman now, on topic of being an amana and a grusha and a chalala, now she also becomes a zona, since the Zona Isser category is more general, so therefore it will superimpose on her as well. Okay, I admit this fourth one is a little bit more challenging to explain. It doesn't really add a dimension. There is no extra Isser now that it affects. The Gemara is arguing that just simply because it's broader and it covers more people and the Isser affects more people, so therefore it's going to superimpose. Okay. Admittedly, that's a little bit of a struggle, but the Gemara said it. I have to try to explain it. Okay, we move on. Tani Tana Kama de Rav Sheshes. Okay, so the following was said in front of Rav Sheshes, right? Whenever you see the words Tani Tana, what it means is that you have an Amora who is memorizing Brises, and so he wants to make sure the Brises are good and edited and clean. So therefore, what he does is that he says it over in front of Rav Sheshet. Whenever the Gemara records such a story, so you know what's going to happen. The Braisa at first is going to be a little bit strange sounding, right? Seemingly problematic. And then the Amora, who it's said over in front of, is going to basically clean it up. So that's exactly what's going to happen over here. Now, in order to understand this Braisa, just remember the following. When it comes to the Kohen Gadol, he has a mitzvah of the Torah to marry a Besula. The Torah says regarding the Kohen Gadol, V'huisha Besula Yikach. And then, immediately thereafter, the Torah goes on to say, Amanu Gusha V'chalala Zona, Es'ela Lo Yikach. So who is a Kohen Gadol required to marry, obligated to marry? A Besula. Who is the Kohen prohibited from marrying? Right, the four. Amana, Grusha, Chalala, Zona. Okay. So those two psukim are back to back, and the Braisa now reads as follows. Kol shehu b'yikach, harehu b'lo yikach. Kol she'eino b'lo yikach. Kol she'eino b'yikach, eino b'lo yikach. So the Braisa over here is making some sort of relationship between the positive and the negative. In other words, whoever is incorporated and included in the yikach is also going to be included and incorporated in the lo yikach. And whoever is not included in the lo yikach is not going to be included in the yikach. Okay. Make sense? Not yet. Not yet. Hopefully it will in just a moment. So prala kohen gadol shabala chos amana. So now, kohen gadol, who is going to be with a chos amana, his sister is a widow. Now when we talk about the kohen sister who's a widow, in this discussion, what we have to say is that she's still a Besula. Otherwise, there's no discussion to be had. So in other words, so she still is a Besula. And how did she become a widow and a Besula? That's very simple. And that is that she only went through Erusin. And then her husband died. So on one hand, she is an Amana. She is now formally an Amana. Remember, Amana, as long as you are married and your husband dies, you are an Amana. So she is an Amana. However, she still is a Besula. And now, so is this Kohen now going to be receiving Malkus for being with her? So the Gemara says, no, he's not. So Amalei da Amalachmani, Rabbi Shimonhi. So the Gemara now wants to know, basically, are we going to be saying in this Braisa, or let's say a little bit differently, is this Braisa subscribing to Isser Chalal Isser? Because already there's a pre-existing Isser, and that's called a sister. In other words, Achoso. Achoso existed before there was any other Isser. And now you want to superimpose on top of that the Isser of Amana? Does that work? So the Braisa seems to say no. And now the Gemara's analysis. Amalei Dama Lachmani, who's the author of this Braisa? Rabbi Shimon Yidama and Isser Chalal Isser. Ditanya. So the author of the Braisa is Rabbi Shimon, presumably, because he holds Ein Isser Chalal Isser. And how do I know that? Based on the following. And this is whenever having discussion of Isser Chalal Isser, Ein Isser Chalal Isser, the Gemara quotes this Braisa, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ha'ochel Nevela B'Yom Kippur and Pater. So you eat Nevela on Yom Kippur. So you are going to be Pater. You're going to be exempt. What? So in other words, exemption over here is talking about vis-a-vis Yom Kippur, meaning the food already is usher to you. The food is a Nevela. The animal died without a Shechita. So that meat of the animal is now a Nevela, already usher to you before Yom Kippur came about. Now on Yom Kippur, what happened? You have Hosafa. You have an additional Isser on Yom Kippur, and that is you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. And there's an Isser Kares for eating on Yom Kippur. So now, are you going to be bound by the new Isser of Achila B'Yom Kippur for something that already was prohibited to you? Otherwise stated, the classic question of Isser Chalal Isser. And so, and Rabbi Shimon says, no. In other words, Rabbi Shimon's of the position of Ein Isser Chalal Isser. So, Di Rabban Hamri Isser Chalal Isser. In other words, the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Shimon, and they say that Isser is Chalal Isser. So the previous Braisa that talked about the Kohen Gadol vis-a-vis his sister, who now is not only his sister, but in addition to being his sister, also an Amana as well, and Itosef. Are we going to say that there's a new additional Isser on top of the Isser of Achoso? So the Braisa says no, and the Gemara is just simply arguing, I got it. The author of the Braisa is Rabbi Shimon. Ein Isser Chalal Isser. So the Gemara says, nah. Rav Sheshet's analysis of the Braisa is not absolute. So Afilu Tamar Rabbanan could very well be the author of the Braisa. It was really the Chachamim. So Ki Amri Rabbanan Isser Chalal Isser Hani Mili Isser Chamor Isser Kal. So when do the Chachamim say that Isser Chalal Isser? When the second Isser is more strict and more severe than the first Isser. Meaning, let's go back to the Yom Kippur Nevela example. Yom Kippur Nevela, when an animal is just a Nevela, just it still means it's an Isra Minat Torah, but what's the ramifications? The repercussions of eating Nevela? It's only Malkus. So that's it. It's just Malkus. And now Yom Kippur comes along. What happens when you eat on Yom Kippur? So now we're talking about Kares. We moved up from Malkus to Kares. So there, even the Reb Shimon says, Ein Isser Chala Isser. And even though the Chachamim disagree, and they say in that case, Isser Chala Isser, but at least over there, it's Chamor. But over here, Aval Isser Chala Isser Chamor Lochayo. But over here, what are we talking about? Achoso, it's a serious Isser Achoso. That's an Isser Kares. And now what are we going to tack onto that? And the Amana to Kohen Gadol? So Amana to Kohen Gadol is admittedly an Isser, but not nearly as serious as Achoso. Achoso is Arayos. Achoso is Kares. Aman al Kohen Gadol is just but a lav. So even the Chachamim, who are more open to the idea of Isser Chalal Isser, but not when the second Isser is just lighter than the first Isser. Okay, that is all one way to analyze. And now, who is the author of the Braisa? Excellent question. Don't know, in other words. But regardless, however, a really excellent distinction to be made between the Chachamim's openness to Isser Chalal Isser in general, like Nevela and Yom Kippur, versus the case of the Braisa, where she's a Choso, and on top of that, you tacked on that she's also an Amana. Iked Amrei Hamani Rabbanan, Hid Amrei Isser Chalal Isser. Now, in another version of how this discussion went, so we're going to say that really it's going like the Chachamim. That they're open to the idea of Isser Chala Isser. Ki Amar Rabban Isser Chala Isser, Hani Milib Isser Chamor, Al Isser Chala, Val Isser Chala Isser Chamor Lo Chayo. Di'i Rabbi Shimon, Hashta Isser Chamor Isser Chala Lo Chayo, Isser Chala Isser Chamor Mibaye. In other words, there's no way that the author of the Braisa could be Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is not open to the idea of Isser Chala Isser, even when the second Isser is more Chamor. If Rabbi Shimon really has no openness to Isser Chala Isser, when the second Isser is more Chamor, certainly in this case, he's not going to entertain, he's not going to be open to it. Okay, good. This is version number two. Within version number two, so the Gemara says, no, Ma'u Detema, the Gemara says, I might have thought differently. And that is Isser Kohen Hashani Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says that, you know what I would have thought over here? This second Isser in our case, meaning the sister Amana case, Achoso Amana, the second Isser is an Isser Kohuna. Here's what I might have thought. That Isser Kohuna, it's really just a different Isser altogether. It's a different animal, right? Meaning that the Isser Achoso is a general Arayas Isser that applies to everybody. Isser Kohuna, and by the way, we're not just talking about Isser Kohuna, we're talking about Isser Kohen Gadol. It's so unique. It's so different. Maybe that second Isser will be Chal. I'm just giving an analogy. Maybe it comes in through the back door. Maybe that second Isser is so different and so unusual. Maybe it will be Chal because I'm not just simply generically imposing one Isser on top of another, but the second Isser is so weird and so unique that maybe there is room for that second Isser in this particular case. So Amle Rapapala Abaye. Okay, fine. Period. Okay, Adkan. Okay, so a lengthy discussion that really ends off yesterday's daf. That ends off yesterday's daf regarding the discussion of Isser Chala Isser. And wow, we just packed into the last 15 minutes, a little bit more, topics of Isser Mosif, Isser Chamor. Okay, lot of basic discussions regarding the general idea of Isser Chala Isser. Okay, how does a woman become a Chalala? Next topic of discussion. Amle Rapapala Baye, Yisrael Balachoso, Zona Mashrale, Chalala Mashrale, Ola Mashrale. Okay, so, Yisrael Balachoso, when a woman is involved in a Bias Isser, simple example, a man is with his sister, okay? Right, in English, what we call incest, but we're learning Gemara, we're learning Torah, Arayas. So, in other words, so she's involved now in Isser Arayas. So, she at that point in time now is rendered a Zona. Anytime a woman is involved in a Bias Isser, she is a Zona. And as a result of that, she can't marry a Kohen. A Kohen is banned and barred from marrying a Zona. Does she also become a Chalala as well? The question over here is really simple and straightforward. What renders a woman a Chalala? Simple. So, we know she becomes a Zona. In addition to that, does she also become a Chalala? Mir mina kavachomer mechayve lavin. So, So the Gemara says, look, maybe over here we could just build a simple kavachomer. If you become a chalala from chayvei lavin, meaning, what do we know for sure becomes a chalala? A kohen gadol with an amana. She is a chalala. Lo yichalel zaro. We just covered this last couple of days of daf. So we know, and the iser between kohen gadol and amana is only a lav. So here's the thought process, here's the logic. If a kohen gadol who's with an amana renders her a chalala, and that's only a lav, so if, let's say, a couple now are involved in a more serious iser bia, i.e. arayas, then for sure she should become a chalala. That's one side of the argument. Odama in chalala miser kohuna. And the other side of the argument is, no, the logic is terrible. It's a terrible argument. And one could argue that the only thing that renders a woman chalala is when she's involved in an iser bia specific to kahuna. Kohen gadol to an amana, which is an iser kahuna. She's a psul kahuna. Then and only then is she rendered chalala. And even though a woman is involved in an iser, in arayas, in a serious iser kares, so fine, she's rendered a zona, but not a chalala. Maybe chalala is only specific within the realm of kahuna. And Amar Leh Abaye says, "Ein chalala la mister kuna bavad." So Abaye gives us the rule, and the rule is that when it comes to chalala and the psul of chalala, that is only from iser kahuna. That's only when the bs iser involved a somebody who is a psule kohen. Amar Rav Menahem Milsa Damar Rabbanan, "Ein chalala la mister kahuna." Detanya. And Rav is going to support this. Rav is quoting a braisa. So lo yomar gusha b'kohen gadol v'teisi b'kavachomer mikohen hedjah. Look, Torah did not have to tell us that the kohen gadol can't marry a grusha. That would have been an easy jump to make. So ana mi anahan hashta kohen hedjot asura la kohen gadol mi baye. So the argument over here, very simple. Meaning, what is a kohen gadol? Kohen gadol is a kohen hedjot plus. Right? He's not just a kohen hedjot, he's a kohen hedjot, and on top of that, he's also the kohen gadol. So, once I already know that a kohen hedjot is not allowed to marry a grusha, so now for the kohen gadol, obvious. And now, why does the Torah have to go out of its way to write? Meaning, the pasuk tells us that the kohen gadol cannot marry a grusha, lama nemra, so kishem shechaluka grusha mizona v'chalala, b'kohen hedjot, so kachaluka b'kohen gadol. So in other words, it's just like Grusha is its own separate lav from Zona and from Chalala vis-a-vis a Kohen Hedjot. So too, it will be its own separate lav vis-a-vis the Kohen Gadol. So Pshita Migragara, the Gemara says, okay. But in other words, even though the point is good, it's obvious. So Ela Kishem Shechaluka Grusha Mizona V'Chalala B'Kohen Hedjot. So kach amana chaluka migrusha v'chalala v'zona b'kohen gadol. So just like the grusha v'zona chalala is individualized for a kohen hedjot, meaning those are three separate isurim, and the kohen hedjot is going to be subject to malchus for each isur in of itself. So too, the amana regarding the kohen gadol as well. So chalala lama nemra. So the Gemara says regarding the kohen gadol, why does it say chalala? Meaning, we already know that the chalala is prohibited to a kohen hedjot. The fact that the Torah says that lagabe the kohen gadol seems to be redundant. So ain chalala la mister kahuna, making exactly our point. Meaning, this is why we brought this in over here, just simply to tell us that the creation of a chalala can only come about through iser kahuna. Zona lama nemra, as long as we're here, one more to go. Why zona? By the kohen gadol. So nemra kan zona, v'nemra lalan zola, ma kan zaro chulin. So af lahalan zarachulan. So we know that if a kohen gadol is with a zona, the child does not have kedushas kahuna. Same thing is true regarding a kohen hedjot who's with a zona. The child does not have kedushas kahuna. In other words, the child is going to be a chulin, halal, devoid of any kedushas kahuna. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of what creates a halala. What creates a halala is going to be. So is going to be specific to only iser kahuna. So even though a man and woman are involved in a arayas and it does render her a zona, but it will not render her a chalala. What makes a chalala? Only a bia that is under the umbrella of iser kahuna, like Kohen Gadol to an Amana, like Kohen Hedger to a Grusha, etc., etc. Amar Ravashi Okach Kohen Abalachoso. So now the Gemara says, okay, so we're saying that what renders a woman a Chalala? Only Bias Isser Kahuna. So now the Gemara says, if that's true, so now a Kohen is with his sister. I know all these Gemaras are strange, but they're not strange. Meaning what we're really doing is we're giving legal definition. Right? This is really, obviously when we're learning Gemara, we're learning law. And over here, all we're doing is we're giving legal definition. So, a Kohen's with his sister. Now, she's a Zona. Unequivocally, is she also a Chalala? We now know what the answer is going to be. The answer is going to be no. So, Zona Mashvele, Chalala Mashvele. So, Chazor Va'ala, Asa Chalala. So, the, now.
Why can't she become a Chalala automatically?
Yeah.
What? I'm sorry, what? Once, I didn't understand the question.
Once he has a relationship with his sister, and she becomes a Zona, she should become a Chalala automatically also.
No, in other words, what creates...
Why does she have to have a relationship again with somebody, with another Kohen?
We're about to explain. So, Chalala lo mashvilei, chazor v'ala, asa Chalala. Now, when he has relations with her, he's going to make her a Chalala. So, in other words, why? So, right? In other words, all this makes perfect sense. Because consider, when he's with her for the first time, what is that? That was an act of arayos. That was brother-sister. Brother-sister now is not Kohen specific. That's generic arayos that applies to everybody. So in other words, we know Chalala can only be on account of a Isser Kahuna. This is not Isser Kahuna, it's Isser Arayos. Therefore, she's only going to be a Zona. Again, everything I'm saying is relatively speaking. Becoming a Zona is a big deal. But I'm saying she's only going to be a Zona, not a Chalala. Now when he or any other Kohen has relations with her a second time, so what are we looking at now? Now we're looking at a Kohen being with a Zona. Kohen being with a Zona... That is Kohen specific. That is Kohen related. Meaning Yisrael's allowed to be with a Zona. I know that sounds funny, but it's absolutely true. And Yisrael's allowed to be with a Zona. Now, parenthetically, let's see if I can clarify this a little bit better. Meaning if one's wife is Mizane, so obviously she's also to her husband. But that's Sota. But in other words, just because a woman has taken on the status of being a Zona, does not prohibit her to Yisrael, only prohibits her to Kohanim. Nah. So now, when a Kohen has relations with her now another time, so that now is Kohen Zona, that's Kohen specific, now she becomes a Chalala, us a Chalala. So I admit that it takes a moment to really digest and understand what the Gemara is saying, but once you get it, it really makes perfect sense. Okay. Better, worse are the right terms to use. In other words, it's just simply another Isser. But you can only manufacture Chalala Isser only from Isser Kahuna. And the Isser Kahuna doesn't kick in until she's a Zona. And she's only rendered a Zona through the first Bia. It really makes sense. And hopefully I'm explaining it well, but okay. Amar of Yehuda. Okay, we're on 9 Chesamad Aleph, today's daf. Let's go. Amar of Yehuda, Kohen Gadol, be'amana lo kishtayim. So when a Kohen Gadol is with an amana, so how many malchus we're going to be receiving two? Two? In other words, it's one isser. How do you receive two malchus for one isser? So achas mishum lo yikach, v'achas mishum lo yichalal. Yeah. So the way Rav Yehuda understands it, is that actually the Torah presents two psukim and two isurim, even though you could have seen it as just simply two steps to one isur, but the way Rav Yehuda sees it is that each pasuk represents its own separate isur. One pasuk, let me go over the psukim, one pasuk says, Amanu grusha v'chalala zona is eila lo yikach. So just for the likuchin itself, that's one isur, that's one lo. Lo obviously represents a lav in the Torah. And then, v'achas mishum lo yichalal. So in other words, and then when he has bia with her, so he is mechalal her, and so that act of chilal is in of itself its own iser, therefore demanding its own set of malchus. So velokanami mishum lo yichalal zaro. So the Gemara says, okay, so if we're going to say all this, I can actually add a third iser, and that is lo yichalal zaro, by producing a child, that's going to be another iser. So the Gemara says, Bishalo Gamar Bi'aso. So over here, what are we talking about? We're talking about where there was no Gamar Bi'a. Okay. To explain this a little bit better, this is going to be a little bit graphic and a little bit indelicate, but it's fine. Okay. For mature audiences. And that is as follows. In other words, for the Yisr of Likuchin, so that's just simply the Kedushin. Great. That one's easy. So he's Mekadosh the Amana. The Kohen Gadol's Mekadosh the Amana, that already represents one Yisr. Okay. Now what happens is that when he has Bia with her, he's Mechalal her. The act of Bia is what transforms her into a Chalala. So when precisely does that occur? That happens at Ha'ara. Okay, so what is Ha'ara? Ha'ara is initial penetration. In other words, the Gemara in Yevamos in the sixth parak goes over this point at length, and that is that there is a legal definition to what Bia is, and that is initial penetration. The Gemara, I'm not even going to be as graphic as we could be. The Gemara has a debate exactly what is the precise moment of initial penetration. Is it Nishika, or is it Hachnasa Satara? If you understood me, great. And if not, on another occasion. Right, we'll go over the even the very specific definitions that the Gemara gives. But anyway, that is what's called initial penetration. Right, that's what we're going to call it right now. So that's Bia, and therefore she at that moment in time now is Niv LS, and therefore she's rendered a Chalala. Ah. Now what about Lo Yichalal Zaro? So Lo Yichalal Zaro means is that the Bia is going to be completed, because only at the completed Bia, then and only then does he have the potential of impregnating her. Meaning the initial contact does not have the potential of impregnating her. It's only with a Bia Gemura, then and only then does he have the potential of impregnating her, and then and only then is he violating the Yisra of Lo Yichalal Zaro. In other words, not that he actually impregnated her, but at least he could impregnate her, and that's only by the Gemara Bia. Okay? So what the Gemara is explaining is that over here, the only reason why we're only focusing on two Yisra, maybe you're right. Maybe there could be a third Isser, but over here we're just focusing on Kedushin and Haschalas Abia. Mesa Brava, Amana Grusha, Loke, Mishum Shnei Shemos, My Lav, Shnei Shemos Vesulo. So Rava now challenges Rav Yehuda. We know the Mishnah Makos, a Kohen Gadol is with an Amana who's also a Grusha. So he's going to be receiving two Malkios. So now two Malkios. Now according to you, Rav Yehuda, there actually are more than two Malkios. Remember, according to Rav Yehuda, there's an Isser Kedushin and there's an Isser Bia. So the Gemara says, Lo, Shnei Shemos Alzeh, V'Shnei Shemos Alzeh. So what Rav Yehuda will interpret the Mishnah Makos to mean is, nah. It just simply means there's a series of Malkios for the Amana, and there's a series of Malkios for the Grusha. So the Gemara says, Eima Seifa, Grusha Bechalutza, Eino Chayv Ela Achas. So Hachi Kamar, Eino Chayv Ela Al Achas, Olam Shnei Shemos. So the Gemara says now, as far as Grusha V'Chalutz are concerned, even though it says one, it only means a series of one. Meaning, there's only going to be an Isser for the Grusha, not for the Chalutza. So Chalutza midrabanan. So the Gemara says, why? Because Chalutza is derabanan. Now, the better way to read the Gemara is, the Gemara is really asking now a question. Chalutza midrabanan, meaning Chalutza is only a din derabanan. Who told you that? That Tanya, the Pasuk says, Grusha, ainli ala Grusha, Chalutza minayin tamalomer, v'isha. So we have the extra vav. The extra vav is coming to include a chalutza. Kohen is not allowed to marry a chalutza, and it's a drasha, which means it's daraisa, right? The Gemara says wrong. So midrabanu kras machta ba'alma. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara makes this point numerous times throughout Chas, and that is that sometimes on a din derabanan, what the chachamim will do is they'll attach the din derabanan to a pasuk in the Torah. They'll hang the din derabanan on a peg of the Torah. Right? It's called an asmachta. So over here, it's an asmachta, but really the truth of the matter is that chalutza is only a din derabanan, not a din deraisa. Okay. Amar Abai, kidesh loke, ba'al loke. So kidesh loke, mishum lo yikach, ba'al loke, mishum lo yichalo. Okay, so Abaye, very similar to the position of Rav Yehuda that we just saw earlier, a Kohen Gadol marries the Amana. So now we're looking at two counts over here. One Isser of Likuchin, and a second Isser of being Mechalaher. Okay, in other words, Abaye is basically taking the position of Rav Yehuda. Rav Amar Baal Loke, so Lo Baal Eino Loke, so Mishum Dechziv Lo Yikach Lo Yichala, Matam Lo Yikach Mishum Lo Yichala. And how does Rav view it? Very interesting. Rav says, now, it could be, at this point I'm not sure about, so I'm just going to I'm going to walk gently over here. It could be that Rava agrees with Rav Yehuda that they're two Isurim. However, this point Rav is making very clear, and that is that if all he did was Mekadesh her, and he never had Bia with her, so there's not going to be any Malkius whatsoever. Why? Because the Isur of Mechalel, let's say it this way, the Isur of Kiddushin is only a Hechitimtza, it's a means to get to the Isur of Lo Yichalel. So in other words, the only time you trip the Isur of Lo Yikach is only when you trip the Isur of Lo Yichalel. So umod habayi b'machzor grusha. So shim kiddush v'lo bal ein aloke. So the kachtelios leisha merachmana. So haleka. So the Gemara says, you know where Abai is going to agree with this idea by machzor grusha. So what's the issur machzor grusha? So we also cover this issur numerous times, and that is a man divorces his wife and then she remarries and then she gets a divorce from her second husband. The Torah says to the original husband, do not take her back. So the Lo yucha ba'al harishon asher shilcha lo shuv lakach talios l'isha acharei asher hu tama. And now Abai is going to say to Rava, here's where I agree with you. In other words, here there is not just an independent isser of likuchin. Here for machzir grushaso, the isser likuchin is tied up with the bia. And so therefore, if the original husband takes her back and has bia with her, so then he's subject to malchus. But if all he does is just likuchin with her, that in itself does not trigger Malkus. Why? Because the pasuk says, "Lakach lios lo liisha." He takes her back to be a wife. So there, it's not the Isser Likuchin by itself. There does not exist an independent Isser Likuchin. The Ushneihem modim b'machzir grushaso shim bavelo kiddush ein aloke derech likuchin asra Torah. Also, another point of agreement between Abaye and Rava, and that is that on the machzir grushaso, when, let's say, there is only bia, but there's no likuchin, so then one does not violate the isser of machzor grushaso. Machzor grushaso has to be in a context of likuchin and bia. Okay, I quoted this Sforno before. Let's quote it again. Okay, it's a short and such a poignant Sforno. The Sforno says on the pasuk of machzor grushaso, why is the Torah so adamant about taking back the woman you divorced? Now, again, to be clear, if she did not marry a man in the interim, so then you could take her back. In fact, you can even argue it's a mitzvah to take her back. Again, both parties are ready and willing to give it a second try. However, once she marries another man, there's an issur in the Torah that says that he cannot take her back. Machzor grushaso. And it's really the way to properly say it and communicate it. It's machzor grushaso mishenises. So now, and the Torah describes it in really strong terms. You know how the Torah describes such an action? It's a to'eva, right? It's an abomination. That is language, that strong language of the Torah that the Torah reserves for only very choice isurim of the Torah. Why is the Torah so particular about machzor grushaso, right? It's bad, but like, in other words, it's that bad? The Sforno writes right there on the pasuk. Do you know why it's so bad? Because it's legalized adultery. In other words, rather than commit adultery, which, you know, who's quote unquote moral and ethical is not going to commit adultery. Ah, okay, fine. But there's a legal way to do so, and that is divorce your wife, and then she can go and marry another man, and then she'll divorce that second man, and you'll take her back. So in other words, so basically, it's a way of allowing for adultery, right? The Sforno, forgive me, I don't have it in front of me right now, but basically he writes legalized adultery. That's what makes machzor grushaso so bad. Rav Yehuda Amar Basker Zacher Kebas Chalal. Okay, so we are now in Ayin Ches Siman Aleph, and we're right in the middle of the Amud. And this next part over here, I'm going to do a little bit on the quicker side. Okay, so according to Shitas Rav Yehuda, how does a Chalal psul pass down from generation to generation? So according to Rav Yehuda, what does it do? It follows the father. If the father's a Chalal, the children are going to be Chalalim. So, what's the reason behind Rabbi Yehuda Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Basker Zachar, Kebas Chalal Zachar? So, I'm sorry, and we're moving on now, not only to Chalal, but also to Gerus as well. And Rabbi Yehuda will say the same thing is true regarding Ger. The Ger, the status of Ger goes on to the next generation following the father, meaning if the father's a Ger, so the child now is going to have the status of a Ger, okay? And therefore, so what? In other words, the father's a ger, that's great. Meaning he converted. It's wonderful. That's true. But in other words, we know that a gerus is not allowed to marry a kohen. Oh. So now, according to Rav Yehuda, if the father's a ger, his children are now going to have status of gerim, which means that his daughter can't marry a kohen. Fine. So in other words, for Rav Yehuda, it's very easy to remember whatever is true regarding chalalos and that status passing on to the next generation, the same thing is going to be true regarding gerim as well. Okay. V'hadinosein. So now the Gemara is going to explain what's behind Rav Yehuda. It's going to be a kavachomer argument. So ma chalal shabam mitipak shera. So bita psula, ger shabam mitipak psula, ino din shabita psula. So the Gemara says the argument is that when it comes to a chalal, you know, dad is a kasher. It started off as being a kasher. And yet, his daughter is going to be psula kahuna. So when it comes to a ger started off, before becoming a ger, he was a psula. He was a pusul. So now, kosher came. How much more so this child should be a psula? So malachalal shekain yisir asabavir. The Gemara says, really? Really? What kind of comparison is that? That's a terrible comparison. Meaning when it comes to halal, so yitzir also be'avera. In other words, how was the halal created? How was he formed? By his parents being involved in an act that was usher. That's not true by ger. So that's a terrible comparison. So kohen gadol ba'amani yochiach shein yitzir also be'avera bita psula. So now what the Gemara is going to try to do, classic Gemara, resurrect the kavachomer by introducing another case study. And that's kohen gadol to amana. Now, kohen gadol to amana. So as far as the Kohen Gadol is concerned, his creation was not be'avera. Now granted, by the way, by him being with the Amana, that's an avera, which we're going to get to momentarily, but the Kohen Gadol himself is not an avera. So ma'al the Kohen Gadol ba'amana shekein bi'asa be'avera. So the Gemara says, really? How could you bring that in as a factor? Kohen Gadol Amana, the bi'ah is an avera. So halal yochiach. So the Gemara says, okay, but that's not true by halal. When a halal marries a Jewish woman, so that's a perfectly sanctioned marriage. So chazra din lo rizek rizeh. So atzad hashav v'shabem sheina beravakal af ani avi esager sheina beravakal and bita psula. So the Gemara says, so what I'll do is I'll take two models. I'll take the Kohen Gadol amana model. I'll take the halal and his wife model, and I'll say, look, what's the common denominator between the two? The statuses of the father pass on to the daughter. So I'll say the same thing regarding the ger. So the Gemara says, lo tema Kohen Gadol b'amana yochiach. Ella Ema, sorry, I skipped a step. So the Gemara says again, not a good comparison. Both in the case of Kohen Gadol to Amana and the case of Halal and his wife, there's an element of Avera. By the Kohen Gadol and his wife, the Bia is an Avera. By the Halal, the creation of the Halal is an Avera. By the Ger, there is zero Avera by the Ger. So once again, how can I compare? So the Gemara says, "Lo tema kohen gadol ba'amani yochiach ela'ema mitzvirishon yochiach." So the Gemara says, "Okay, we're gonna introduce the second case, but take out the kohen gadol amana case. You're right; that's not gonna work. So we're gonna make the kavachomer by taking that out, replacing it with mitzvirishon. Malam mitzvirishon shekein enarai lavo bekal. The Gemara says, "Mitzvirishon, first generation mitzri is not allowed to marry into the Jewish people. So chalal yochiach chazor edin larizek rizeh." So it's atchav v'shabem sheinam beravakal and bita psula afani avias ager sheinam beravakal and bita psula. So the Gemara says, okay, but we'll take the common denominator. We'll take halal and his wife. We'll take mitzvirishon and his wife, and we'll take the common denominator. Their child is a pasul ger, same thing. Malas atchav v'shabem shekein poslin bibi asan. So the Gemara says again, what a terrible comparison when it comes to the halal. When it comes to the mitzri, there is a bia psula involved. When it comes to the ger, there's no bia psula that's involved. Rav Yehuda ger nami posa bibiaso maisila b'metsa me'atzad mehaidina. So the Gemara says what Rav Yehuda will tell me is that the fact that the ger also posels a woman bibiaso, in other words, he will also conclude in that manner as well using the me'atzad. And therefore, Rav Yehuda will basically say that I'm going to take the two model cases, ger mitzri and a Jewish woman, and that of a halal and his wife, and we're going to bring that over to the ger using the ma'at side. Either not perfectly comparable, Rav Yehuda will see it as in fact perfectly comparable. Okay, and let's finish up. Okay, I admit that section of the Gemara over there I went through way too quickly, And it's basically an attempt to understand the shita behind Rabbi Yehuda, that the halal status will pass on to his daughter. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer. Now, according to the shita of Rabbi Elazar, if I have a Yisrael marrying a Giyares, so the daughter can marry a Kohen. And if I have a Ger who marries a Bas Yisrael, the daughter can marry a Kohen. Meaning, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, so what would it take for the Ger status to move on to the next generation? Both mother and father have to be Gerim. So Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer Giyares, Pechusim Yibagis Gemel Shanim Yom Echad, Ksheir Lekuhu Nashinemar, V'cholatap Nashim, so Hechayu Lechem, V'alo Pinchas, Haya Imahem. Okay, so where are we right now? There are now four different opinions of the daughter of a convert and her status regarding a Kohen. So they are, Rav Yehuda says that if the father's a Ger, daughter is cannot marry a Kohen. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says that if one of the two is a is a Ger, the daughter can marry. But if both are Gerim, then the daughter cannot marry. And then we have the status of the Rashbi, even if she herself is a Gioris. However, she converts below 3 years of age, she's allowed to marry a Kohen. That is the most Mekel Shita. In a moment, we'll get to the Halacha. So, V'Rabbanan, Echayu Lechem L'Avadim V'L'Shvachos. Now, as far as the Chachamim are concerned, in the battle against Midjam, when we took the Avadim back, not for wives, but rather for service. Not for wives. V'chula mikrecha darshu. Everyone's darshaning from the same pasuk in Yecheskel. In other words, we're going to go through all shitas. Amanu gushu lo yichu lachem l'nashim kiim besulis mizera beis Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda sever adi is kol zera mi Yisrael. According to shitas Rabbi Yehuda, I need both mom and dad to be mi Yisrael. If one of the parents are mi Yisrael, or not mi Yisrael, the child can marry a Kohen. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov suffered mizera ve'afil mixa zera. According to Rabbi Elazar, mizera tells us mixa zera. As long as one of the two parents are Yisrael, the daughter can marry a Kohen. Rabbi Yossi suffered mishin Yisrael be Yisrael. And Rabbi Yossi's position, which we saw back in the Mishnah, is that even if mom and dad are both gerim, but in other words, but the child was conceived after gerus, so then the child can marry a Kohen. The daughter can marry a Kohen. And finally, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai suffered mishin nizru besula b'Yisrael. And according to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, as long as her besulim, her virginity, right? In other words, her actual dam besulim, as long as that developed while she was Jewish, meaning she converted before 3 years of age, the development of the besulim does not occur until 3 years of age, according to our Mesorah, so then she's allowed to marry a Kohen. So those are four different opinions regarding when can the daughter of a ger marry a Kohen? Amalei Rav Nachman l'Rava. So now the question is very simple. Haikra Reisha, b'kohen gadol v'seifa b'kohen hedjot. So if you look at that pasuk in Yecheskel, you'll notice the beginning of the pasuk talks about a kohen gadol. The end of the pasuk talks about a kohen hedjot. So Amalei in, and his response is that's accurate. V'kasa krahachi, and now follow up question. What? What? Yeah, that's how it works. So Amalei in, Dichsiv, the Gemara says it's not unusual. I'll give you another example. V'nero lokim term yichbesh mol shochei be'echal Hashem. V'alo in yeshiva ba'azar ela machi be'zavid bevad. Ela, ner elokim term yichbe be'echal Hashem. In other words, the ner elokim term yichbe be'echal Hashem is a reference to the menorah. And ushmul shochei b'mkamo. So in other words, you can have a shift in a single pasuk where the subject is one item in the beginning of the pasuk, and then you could shift and move to a different subject at the end of the pasuk. Fine. The Gemara says, okay, as long as we're in that pasuk in Yecheskel, v'aman asher tia aman mikohen yichu, so mikohenim miyisrael lo, a difficulty in sefer Yecheskel. Now, if you've been around the daf long enough, you'll know it's not a difficulty in sefer Yecheskel. There are many difficulties in sefer Yecheskel. Yecheskel was on the chopping block. Sefer Yecheskel. There are a number of psukim in Sefer Yecheskel that are just difficult, halachically difficult psukim. They actually consider, they entertain, let's not canonize Sefer Yecheskel. Let's keep it out. It's just too many difficult psukim. Here we're just going to be citing one example. There are others. So, and the Gemara noted, where's the Gemara in Shabbos? My memory tells me Shabbos, but I reserve the right to be wrong. Anyway, what they did is they did an all-nighter where they really spent time in terms of taking all the more challenging psukim in Sefer Yecheskel, explaining them. Here's but one example. A woman who's widowed from a Kohen can't marry a Kohen. What? A woman who's widowed from a Kohen can't marry a Kohen? A widowed woman, period, can't marry a Kohen. How do you understand the pasuk in Yechezkel? V'aman asher tiyah amana mikohen yichu, mikohen imiso, lo hachi kamar. Mikohen yikachu, mishar kohanim. Now you see, I'm struggling to try to interpret it as the Gemara is interpreting it. So mikohen yikachu, that means mishar kohanim. So in other words, the other kohanim can marry an almana. However, mikohen yikachu mishar kohanim yikhu. As long as you're not the Kohen Gadol, you can marry an almana. That's how you interpret the pasuk. Tanya mehachi mikohen yikachu mishar kohanim yikhu. In other words, other kohanim can marry the almana. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda, let's get to the Mishnah and let's end today with the Mishnah. Oh, beautiful. Rabbi Yehuda omer masian lekuna yikachu. So somebody who can marry your daughter, somebody whose daughter can marry a kohen, so such a woman you're allowed to marry. So Rabbi Yehuda Tame, the Gemara says, good. Rabbi Yehuda consistent with what he said earlier. If you can marry the daughter, you can marry the amana. That was the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that we learned earlier. And that's how Rabbi Yehuda will interpret the pasuk in Sefer Yechezkel. And finally, Rabbi Yossi Amar Afger Shanasa Giyara Sam Rabbi Menuna Mishmedu Ula Lachik Rabbi Yossi. V'chein Amar Rabbi Barachan Alachik Rabbi Yossi. Omi Yom Shechar Beis HaMikdash Nagu Konim So Batzman Karab Laz Ben Yaakov. Okay, Amar Rav Nachman Amar Lehuna Bali Malach Modim Lo Karab Laz Ben Yaakov. Nasa Ein Mosi Nasa Mimena Karab Yossi. Okay, I read all that quickly. What's the halacha? So, interesting. The halacha is fundamentally me'ikar than the halacha is like Rav Yossi. What did Rav Yossi say? Mom and dad are both gerim, and the conception of the daughter came after the gerus, allowed to marry a kohen. That's the ikar halacha. However, post Chorban Beis HaMikdash, what the Chachamim did is the Chachamim elevated and made a chumra for themselves. They were nagu chumra. Literally, the language of the Gemara is nagu kohanim. Silsol. That's a very strange and unusual language, right? Which definitely needs better interpretation. But the idea of the Gemara is that they accepted the falling chumra upon themselves, which is we're gonna raise our standards. Even though the ikar halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, and even though the daughter of mom and dad both being gerim is allowed, the Kohen's allowed to marry her. However, They demanded a higher threshold of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. One of the two parents have to be Jewish. Then and only then are you allowed to marry the daughter. That is the chumra the Kohanim took on upon themselves. Begs the question, why did they take the chumra upon themselves? And specifically, why did they accept the chumra after Chorban Beis HaMikdash? The Rishonim address, the Rishonim give suggestions. Anyway, but that's... So that's the halacha. Meaning, as to the question of what's the halacha, there are four opinions in terms of who a kohen can marry, and the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, but the kohen have taken it upon themselves to go like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. One of the parents need to be Jewish.